88 Precepts Introduction. Until the white race realizes that there is only one source from which we can ascertain lasting truths, there will never be peace or stability on this earth. In the immutable laws of nature are the keys to life, order, and understanding. The words of men, even those which some consider inspired, are subject to the translations, vocabulary, additions, subtractions, and distortions of fallible mortals. Therefore, every writing or influence, ancient or modern, must be strained through the test of conformity to natural law. The white peoples of the earth must collectively understand that they are equally subject to the iron-hard laws of nature with every other creature in the universe, or they will not secure peace, safety, nor even their existence.
What is thy bidding, my master?
Well, it's time to get the show going. That's my bidding. And that was a little bit of a tape we have had for a long time, but a lot of you people have never heard it, and that's 88 Precepts by David Lane Wodenson, produced by the Viking. And we do have that tape. If you'd like a copy, that audio tape, that cassette tape is $10, and that is a very, very required piece of information for you to hear. 88 Precepts. This is War, P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. And our big website is resist.com. And when you go to that website, you can download all kinds of radio shows. You can take a look at our various pieces of merchandise, flags, rings, pendants, you name it. It's all up there, plus all our political and racial information, plus cartoons and so forth at resist.com. There's a line we have. It's called the update line, and it's 24/7. And the number is 760-723-8996. We change that message once a week, and we usually have quite a few questions that we answer on that particular tape. Now, when you're ordering from War, send cash, check, or money order to John Metzger. That's John Metzger, P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. The date is July 21st, 2004, for your records. Yeah, well, while we're waiting here for Dr. Kaldenberg to make it up the mountain towards the bunker here, let's hear a little bit of Johnny Cash. Sort of get you in the mood for my Terrible Tommy's country western music show and comedy show, yeah, that we have up there on the internet that you might like to listen to. Here we go.
They gave him his orders at Monroe, Virginia. They said, Steve, you're way behind time. This is not 38, this is old 97. Put her in the Spencer on time. Then he turned around and said to his big greasy fireman, hey, shovel on a little more coal. And when we cross that wide old mountain, watch old 97 roll. Harsh words to your true love or husband, he may leave you. and never return. I was riding number 9, heading south from Carolina. I heard that long, got in trouble, had to roam. I left my gal, I left my home. I heard that long, long, some whistle blow. Just a kid acting smart, I went and broke my darling's heart. I guess I was too young. They took me off the Georgia main, locked me to a ball and chain. I heard that long, wah, wah, some whistle blow. All alone I bear the shame, I'm a number, not a name. Long, wah, wah, some whistle blow. All I do is sit and cry when that evening train goes by. I heard that long, wah, wah, some whistle blow. I'll be locked here in this cell till my body's just a shell. And my hair turns whiter than snow. I'll never see that gal of mine. I'm in Georgia doing fine. I heard that long, wah, wah, some whistle blow.
Well, Dr. Kahlenberg ought to be in here pretty soon, man. I've been waiting. I've been dragging my feet playing this old good old Johnny Cash music. Well, hell, here he is.
Yes,
he
just, you blind old man.
You snuck in right past me, man. Dr. Kahlenberg, how's things out in the high country?
Pretty groovy. I got a nice view of all the forest fires.
Oh, isn't that cute?
Sort of like California's sure a burning place. Every time it seems like, you know, in the fall there's forest fires, and in the summer and the spring there's forest fires.
Yeah, they're starting fires with
bottle rockets.
Now. Well,
most people don't think of California as being full of mountains and, Southern California is basically full of mountains and woods and stuff, but it's kind of a weird place. You got desert, and then you got mountains that got woods in it, and you got the beaches.
Well, you got all that chaparral, too, man, and that's got a lot of oil in it.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff goes like you wouldn't. Like, it's like a bomb with that stuff.
You know, when I worked as the seasonal firefighter in high school, and they're, you know, like yucca cactuses?
Yeah.
But down in them, when they burn, they got a thing called a pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to dig trenches because those things catch on fire. And like you say, as they roll down the hill on fire, and they blow up like a hand grenade. They shoot like, you know, 30 feet or so.
Wow.
You know, they spread fire everywhere, and, you know, a lot of them, that was a big containment thing, was the yucca cactuses.
I didn't know that. I'll have to stay out of the way of those bottle things on the bottom of the yucca plant.
You know,
it's against the law to cut one of those or move it or anything, you know.
Yeah.
They're protected.
Oh, yeah.
Just like the Spix.
Yeah,
they
true.
Are protected.
That is true. They're an endangered species.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool, like, when you're in a forest fire and stuff, because, like, I see, like, the sap in the tree will catch on fire, like gasoline, and, like, pine cones blow up. Sometimes I've seen pine trees blow up and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's more...
Well, actually, it's cooler when you're out of it and thinking about it, but when you're right there in the midst of it. And plus, too, there's methane gas and stuff. We had a guy walking point that had to look out for the methane gas. Because a lot of people, firefighters that die, what happens is that kid's on fire. And it's just like natural gas and stuff. It just burns them alive. It just goes in a flash.
What, does it sort of hang towards the ground?
Yeah, it hangs towards the ground and stuff, and you can see it and stuff, because it comes out of the trees. When the trees burn, they make this methane gas, and it just goes down to the bottom, just like a big tree fart and stuff, and it'll light and just go boom. Like,
yeah, I heard a woman talking about it that got burnt.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, there was nothing, no flame or nothing. Mm. All of a sudden, poof.
Well, the year before, I worked for the Keene Fire Department, you know, where La Paz is United Farm Workers Headquarters. I was about a block down from that. And the year before that, a crew from my fire station, I believe it was, some guys got killed on because of that, because they didn't look out for the methane gas.
I had a relative that got killed. He was a smoke jumper up in the Northwest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Smokies, yeah.
Yeah, they jumped into an area and got trapped.
Like hot shots, yeah.
Yeah, man. Boy, that's something
they're actually, that's kind of a breed. They're almost like the Marines, kind of the firefighters.
Hey, what the hell are the kikaroos up to?
Which ones?
Well, I don't know. They're all over the place.
They're always up to something, Tom.
Yeah, they're always up to something. They're all over the place.
That's true.
What do you got there?
What do I have? Well, you went, speaking of kikaroos, you went to Aryan Nations.
Well, wait a minute. Now, what are you saying that? Well, that is not it. That is not the way you're supposed to say that.
Oh, you went to Aryan Nations.
I went to Aryan Nations, yeah.
Are you a Hebrew now?
Yeah, no, not quite. Pastor Butler's getting pretty old.
Uh-huh.
He's about 87, I think, and he invited me up. And while I was there, I met all kinds of people. There were all kinds of, not just identity Christians, there was all kinds of, there was Nazis, and there was pagans, and there was atheists, and everybody was running around there.
Yeah. So, well, that's one thing, you know, like, I kind of thought about Aryan Nations is one thing that I thought was their weakness is they were actually too tolerant. You know, you're going to have an identity movement, you know, I mean, it should have been more identity, because I've known when I went up there, everybody and their mother was up there.
Well,
kind of weight, kind of waters.
I don't think so. I think it's better the way it is because there's a lot of cross pollination goes on there, and just a straight, big, long identity conference. I don't think I can handle that.
But
most of the guys didn't talk about religion. They talked about politics and so forth. Some of the guys that came up there, they did talk about the Bible and things like
that. What did your old buddy Arch Edwards talk about?
I ain't even talking about that guy. He showed up, and I just said, keep him away from me. Keep him away from me.
So cornflake
in fact, I haven't even listened to the tape. I was talking to somebody outside the meeting area, and I didn't even hear what he said. So he said something about he wasn't a speaker. He was a writer. He was a researcher and a writer.
That's what he's doing up there speaking.
But anyhow, it says most of the world never heard of this guy. I don't want to give him any more fame than he's got already.
Well.
So anyhow, it was, I got to march.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I joined in the big march.
Would you march around the compound?
Well, no, down Coeur d'Alene Town, man.
How'd that go?
Well, they blocked off the whole area, and man, they had, it was a lot of nice-looking people on the curb, and only a few hecklers, really.
You had to dress up like Santa Claus and throw a candy canes back?
Well, I was wearing my cowboy hat and my shorts and had a big smile on my face and giving them the peace sign and everything, and they didn't know quite how to take that, so...
Wouldn't that be funny? They have all these Nazis marching, and they have, like, throwing candy canes and candy, and all the kids are following the Nazis around to get free. Remember when you were a little kid in the Christmas parade?
Well, that would have been a good idea.
That would have been funny. Yeah, that kind of would have freaked them out, all these little kids. Follow the Nazis.
But I recommended that they get a hall next time, because they had a meeting out in the private campground.
Yeah.
And it was hot, and it was a big... tent, you know, and
I know. I lived in Idaho. It gets hot and
there
nasty.
There was bugs around there and everything, you know. So, and then there was some writers and video guys around, and you couldn't hardly keep them out because, you know, when you can't control a building, if you can control a building, you're okay. Yeah. But out in the boonies, it's a little hard to keep people out.
Yeah, especially in the dark, they all blend in together.
Yeah, so anyhow, it was hotter than a depot stove on Saturday night up there as far as... humidity was concerned. Otherwise, it was pretty good. And Pastor Butler has a nice little house there that he's fortunate that his supporters bought and gave to him.
That's good.
Yeah. And, well, it's not his name because he's like me. He can't have anything in his name. It's a nice little house there, and but he's getting up there, but he was up there and... got up in the truck and rode in the parade, and we had a lot of fun. But most of the people along the street, the sidewalks, are white.
Yeah.
Almost all. I only saw a couple of non-whites.
Yeah.
And so they didn't have a look. They really weren't pro or con. They were just curious.
Were the non-whites in the march, or were they watching the march?
Is that some of you funny, man? Is that one of you funny? My bidding is to kick Darth, kick his ass.
It is a commentary on some of these racialists don't watch who they let in their groups.
Well, hell, I've been to plenty of your pagan outfits. Hey, if your pagan outfits want to let everybody in.
Which one?
Well, McDowell and all these
guys. Well, they're not racial. They're like calling the Catholic
he's
Church.
He's supposed to represent the big deal, the oldness and everything.
Well, it's just like.
And then you got the one down there in Arizona, that guy.
Well, you got the atheists that let anybody in.
The ex-Nazi.
You got those atheists that let anybody in.
Sure, because a lot of atheists are not racist.
Yeah, a lot of Odinists aren't either.
Well, why do you hang around a religion that has non-racist people?
When exactly have you seen me hang around Steve McDowell? What's it been, about 27 years?
Well, no, I mean the meetings, when they have the meetings. You ought to go there and preach.
I know. I know.
Preach about Odin.
I haven't been around the non-racial Odinists in about 27 years or so.
Well, how do you know what's happening then?
About them? I don't. I stay away from them.
Oh, man. I think you stay away from everybody.
No, I hang around you.
Well, hell, I'm nobody.
That's true.
Okay, now, you know what? The Russians are invading England.
Dear God.
There are more and more Russians in England to the point where they got their own newspapers,
cool.
Radio stations, the Bolshoi Ballet stuff, and all that stuff is in England now.
Well, you got to have some fighting white
now,
people.
Now, I wonder if these are Russian Jews that are congregating there in England, or whether...
Well, you know, it can't be, because if the Jews are coming to America, and the Jews are going to Israel, and the Jews are going to all over the place, it seems like after a while you'd run out of Russian Jews.
Well,
so there can't be too many of them.
There's a lot of Russian Jews.
Oh.
I mean, that's a big country over
there.
There's a lot of Russian Jews, so I imagine at least 10-20% of those Russians in England aren't Russian Jews.
Yeah,
so anyhow, I was just listening to that on a radio show about how many of them were over there in Russia, and I mean in England, and some of the English are getting a little bit concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're not concerned about the Wogs, but they're concerned about the Russians.
No, they're not concerned about the niggers. I mean, it's just the Russians.
Yeah,
you know,
they're white people.
Well, they might be Reds.
Oh, yeah. Even the better.
Heavens to Murgatroyd. Well, Robert Reich, you know who he was?
Sounds
he was the Secretary
guy.
Of Labor
under
Clinton.
Yeah, he had to have a midget.
He was a midget, yeah. Well, he confirmed what I say all along.
What?
Well,
short people have
well he says that jobs are dropping.
Oh.
And, you know, Bush saying that employment's going up. Well, it ain't going up, it's going down. Mm-hmm. And the average pay is dropping about $8 every few months on average. And but then he went on to say, well, what are the people doing if they don't have jobs? They won't be able to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that fits right in.
He's been listening to us.
Well, that's what I said about why they're bringing the Mexicans mm-hmm. and the Asians in, because they can absorb debt.
Yeah.
And Americans are up to their eyeballs in debt, and so that's the way that goes.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that Robert Reich confirmed my analysis.
Oh, you know, it's interesting. You know, which corporation is the highest a donor to the Republican Party? Which company?
No, I don't.
It kind of surprised me. It's Walmart. I thought it'd be like an oil company.
Oh, well.
You know what Walmart wants? They support the Republican parties because they're against the lower. They want a lower minimum wage, and they want relaxation on the immigration laws. That's why they're supporting the Republican Party.
Of course. Yeah, Walmart would.
Because they're worried about the Democrats because of the unions and stuff, because a lot of the unions, even though they're kind of wishy-washy on the immigration thing, the Republicans aren't wishy-washy at all. They just want to let them all in.
Didn't I tell you about a week or so ago that Walmart was the, fifth largest trading partner, second largest trading partner of China?
No, really? I didn't know that.
Above other nations? A damn store!
Yeah.
What the hell is that? Now, look.
What, do they just use slave labor to make their stuff?
Well, since it's a total dictatorship over in China, I guess you'd call everybody a slave.
Yeah, I know. You know, my dad's got a big thing about Walmart. He won't go to Walmart, and he just buys from Kmart and stuff. And I thought he was kind of being foolish, you know. But, you know, come to think of it, maybe he's right. Maybe he shouldn't buy from Walmart at all.
Well, I was hearing on the radio that one of these other big wholesale houses that you go into,
mm-hmm.
and I forget the name of it. It's a well-known one. They're paying about $15 an hour or so.
Costco.
Yeah. They pay their employees about $15 an hour.
They're very union-friendly.
And they're still making money.
Yeah, they're union-friendly.
So here is Walmart over here paying people a little over minimum wage. So what's going on
there? You know,
there?
That's weird, because Costco is one of the Democratic Party's biggest donors. You know, they support the Democratic
well,
Party.
Well, that makes sense if they're paying good wages.
Yeah, because they're union-friendly, because they're really sympathetic
to
the union.
So how come Costco can sell and make a good profit and pay those kind of wages. And Walmart says, oh, we couldn't do that.
Because Walmart wants to make a profit. Walmart stock just goes through the roof because they're just raking
they
out
don't
money.
Want to make a profit. They want to make a killing.
Oh, that's what I mean, mega profit.
Yeah. Oh, mega profit. Yeah. Guess what?
What?
The niggers are raping the little kids over in Iraq.
Oh, yeah. I sent you that thing. I got somebody
yeah.
posted that on my forum, and I eat front.
Yeah, and I'll bet you most of them are niggers. There may be a white trash someplace there.
Well, a lot of white people are niggers. Are just
well, they've dumbed down to niggers.
Reversed
yeah.
Oreos. You know, they're white on the outside and black on the inside.
Yeah, nigger see, nigger do. No,
yeah.
Whitey see, nigger do. Yeah. Something like that, yeah. Well, what do you think of that?
I think they should be shot. Any commander that would let him just shoot him.
Well,
you know, in a civilized society, you would, because basically you're taking the United States military and you're disgracing it. You know,
well,
and all these guys are saying, "Oh, we got to support our troops." Well, look, the sons of bitches are doing.
Well, you know, in World War II, they would have done that.
Oh, yeah.
They would have shot him right in the head.
Could you imagine, like, my dad's generation caught some American soldiers buggering some German kid, little kids? They would have just took them out and shot
them. Well, they hung
a lot of them for rape
in Europe.
Yeah.
And there was quite a bit of that went on, and a lot of it was blacks doing it.
Yeah.
And they just they hung them, and they didn't keep them around for a long time either. Wasn't much appealing. They just hung them.
Yeah.
That was it, you know.
So, yeah, my dad told me a story. There was this guy that was always getting drunk, and he's following asleep on post. Well, one night the Germans came and slit his throat, you know, when he was on guard because he was sleeping. But lo and behold, they didn't touch any of the other Americans who were sleeping. So the thing of the story is it wasn't German soldiers that did it.
Well, now, have you gone to any movies lately?
Yeah, I did.
Well, I haven't seen a movie in a long time.
I saw a religiously uplifting movie, and it is marketed awfully, but it's King Arthur. It's the most anti-Christian, pro-pagan. It's in the same ballpark as The Wicker Man. It's a great movie. Just rips Christianity apart because it's about King Arthur, who's this Christian king, and he's a true believer and stuff, and all his sidekicks are like pagans and stuff. And then this Jew, this bishop, I mean, he's got this hooked nose, this really dark-looking kike. He finds out that the bishop is no good.
Hmm.
And then he finds out the Catholic Church is no good.
Hmm.
And he realizes Christianity sucks. And then at the end of the movie, he marries this pagan woman, is at a pagan temple, and he just completely turned his back on Christianity. So it's like the de-Christianizing of King Arthur. I thought it was
damn, how'd that get on in the movie?
Well, I know they market it crappily, and they call it one of the big bombs of the summer, because I guess Sony made like $7 or $8 million or something like that. And they just market it like a piece of garbage.
I want to go see it.
But it's one of the better movies I've seen in a while. It shocked me because my jaws were dropping down to the floor. Is how much it is best. And there's a Saxon king who is such a vicious, violent guy. He reminds me of Apocalypse Now, Colonel Kurtz. I mean, because you'd love this guy because he's just no nonsense.
What are you incinerating here? I'm a violent kind of guy.
Yeah, you would love this Saxon king because he is such a violent prick, and he's so focused because
he wants
England, and nothing will stand in his way. And you know what's interesting is in the movie that the Celts win, the Brits win, but in real life, you know, the Saxons, the Anglo-Saxons won. But you know, it's based on truth because the Saxons were pretty, you know, genocidal and straight-minded. Because you know, there's a big theory about why in the English language, like the Pict language, is completely extinct. In the Brit language, there's almost no Brit words in the English language. There's no Celtic words. It's Anglo-Saxon words. So if they would have just killed the men and kept the women, at least they would have had names and, you know, they would appear some of the words, but there's nothing. So they probably just went in there and just wiped everybody out and just Anglo-Saxon people.
I have a question. I read someplace where somebody told me something about that when they say the Black Irish, and they say, well, that was the guys from down in Spain,
and Spanish Armada.
And people like that. But I read something else where that wasn't altogether true. Did you hear about that?
I don't know. I saw there was a thing on the History Channel that basically it had the thing that there was the Spanish Armada. They got shot, and then the guy swam ashore, and since the Irish were Catholics and they were Catholic, they stayed there, and they married him. That's Black Irish. But then other people say, well, that's not true because, you know, the Picts probably had black hair. So they could have been just Pickish people that stayed over.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
Because I had this friend. I told him that because he said he was Black Irish, and he thought it was from the Spanish, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, back then, most of your Spanish were white skin and blondes and light-eyed and like that.
You know, a lot of these stories, like people say, aha, this is the answer, and probably the true answer is there's many answers. You know, there's many reasons for the Black Irish, probably.
Could be. But if anybody out there remembers that story, tell me.
About you, after meeting the Spanish Armada? You mean you're talking about the Spanish Armada? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I say they sunk the Spanish Armada and the sailors went over there and settled in Ireland and married the Irish. Well, that's the Spanish.
Well, I mean, how many sailors got ashore and lived there? I mean,
it was the entire Spanish fleet, so it's probably, what is it, about like 250 guys?
Yeah, but their ships weren't very big back then.
It was about 250 guys, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Per ship, so.
Could be.
Well, I forget how many ships are sunk.
We'll find out in the by and by. Well, you know, Elizabeth Taylor, she's all pissed because the Jews want their painting back.
Which painting?
Well, it's a painting that the Nazis appropriated.
Mm-hmm.
They freed this painting.
Liberated it?
They liberated the painting. And somehow Elizabeth Taylor come. She's got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now the Jews want it back. But they started out by saying Jews in the press.
Yeah.
But then the later story said Germans. So you see how the Jews do.
Yeah.
If it's a negative story, they're just a nation, nationality, German, English, American, or whatever. But if it's a positive story, then they're Jews. So it's interesting how that changed.
Well, you know, a good example of that is Christopher Columbus. When Christopher Columbus was a national hero, I mean, the Jews were constantly promoting that he was Jewish. And then when in the 60s, when he became, you know, this Indian slaughter and, you know, genocide, the man who brought the genocide to the Indians, and a lot of the left were getting negative about Christopher Columbus, all of a sudden he stopped being Jewish. You know?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Also, he said half the damn guys on the ship were Jews.
Yeah.
Well, they did say in that book, The Beast of the Apocalypse, that, remember, there was a lot of conversion by Jews to Christianity.
About 5 million between three A.D. to about 800 A.D. There was 5 million Jews.
Yeah, and they didn't call them Jews; they called them New Christians.
Conversos.
So a lot of those New Christians evidently were on these boats.
Yeah.
And there are all kinds of New Christians that everybody's thinking of them as Gentile, and they're not Gentile at all. They're Jewish.
Well, yeah, a lot of just when Columbus was happening, it was the Inquisition. And a lot of them went to get out of the country.
Well, that was
a lot of them went to Sicily, and a lot of them went to Brazil. A lot of Jews went to Brazil.
There was already a lot of them in Sicily because when they came across at the fall of Jerusalem, part of them went east, part of them went west, and part of them went straight across to Sicily.
Yeah.
And I understand at one time they had a concentration camp.
Yeah, penal colony. Yeah.
A penal colony. Yeah. So maybe that's why those Sicilian mobsters are so mean.
Yeah.
They may be part Jewish.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Well, that's interesting. The government, we got the FBI everywhere in the world now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it used to be a Federal Bureau of Investigation. Now it's the International Bureau of Investigation. They opened an office in Moscow, and they're over there in Iraq.
They're in every country.
Oh, yeah.
They're in every country. What the hell is that? They're supposed to be just in this country.
And what's funny is the Congress or anybody doesn't say, well, they're not the CIA, they're the FBI. What the fuck are they doing overseas?
Did you vote on that?
I didn't
vote on that.
That's what's amazing about democracy is government does all these wonderful things and never ask anybody.
Yeah, I wondered
just
about
that. Whose idea was it to make America diversified? You know, did anybody ask you that you wanted a whole bunch of spics in your backyard?
No, nobody asked me a damn thing.
Democracy. Nobody ever asked anybody. They just do it.
Well, now they're sending the special forces to guard the Olympics.
Good deal.
They're sending 400 special forces to guard the Olympics.
Well, who's going to guard the special forces?
Who's going to guard the United States?
Nobody is.
Everybody's over there.
Well, nobody is. The whole reason, if nobody guards it, then stuff will happen. They'll have more reasons to enforce more laws and get more police. Have bigger paywalls.
Well, that's true. But where are we going to get them? We're going to have non-white police.
Yeah, it's Mexicans, you know. They'll work cheap. They'll be good cops.
Hey, yeah. You know those Mexican trucks are going back and forth across the country now?
Mm-hmm.
One of them just ran over a highway patrol car in Tulsa.
Whoa.
And just flattened the damn thing, almost killed the cop.
Poor guy.
Gee, that's too bad, you know. And I guess, though, they are stopping them.
Yeah.
Because I've got guys tell me they've seen those Mexican cars stop by the not only the immigration.
I can imagine. Alto, alto, alto!
But they don't even know English.
I know.
These drivers.
That's why you have to say alto and stuff.
Well, wait till a lot more upper middle class guys and their families start getting wiped out by these screwed up trucks they're driving.
Yeah, I just wish we could get them to drive through Beverly Hills. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, without any mufflers on. Yeah. How about that? You know. Well, my girlfriend got busted.
Before?
Well, Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, yeah.
She got kicked out of the Aladdin up in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I heard about that by the Jew owner.
Because she gave Bush a hard time.
Well, she told everybody they had to go see the Michael Moore movie, and all these old Republicans, probably these 70-year-old lady, they had an old lady riot. Who else would see, pay $100 to see Linda Ronstadt, but very old people?
Yeah, she's...
And they were rioting and tearing up the chair. I can imagine that. It was like the Geritol generation going.
Yeah, well, she's 58, I guess.
Oh, yeah, she's 58, and her audience is probably about 70.
But anyhow, I thought the Republicans were so much for free speech.
Not if it offends them.
Boy, I'll tell you, they're no better than the Democrats.
Nobody's for free speech as long if it's people you disagree with.
Well, that's true.
There's nothing more intolerant than a tolerant person.
And they're still giving Whoopi hell because she called Bush a little shit.
Yeah.
Why? What's the matter with
her? Well, she compared Bush to her bush or something like that. I never heard the exact line, but somehow...
she's got a big bush.
Yeah, I imagine so. But I didn't hear the exact line, but somehow she said something, the only bush belongs between your legs or something like that. Or
yeah?
Some line like that.
Well, I wish they'd say more stuff like that, because I can't stand the little shit either.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully he won't be our president, and we'll get the other crook in.
And we can yell about him.
Yeah.
Because his brother just got picked up on a DUI.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Kerry's brother down south someplace.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like a real old redneck to me in the picture.
Yeah.
You know, he's, in other words, going to have another Billy Carter.
Running around
the White House, you know?
Yeah. You liked Billy Carter, didn't you?
Hell yes. I even drank some of that.
Billy Beer.
Billy Beer,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I had a six-pack of that.
I think he had more brains than Jimmy.
Well, he was the one that, remember when he said that the United States should align ourselves with the Arabs instead of the Jews because there's more Arabs and they're richer than the Jews.
He was right.
He said it's pretty stupid for America. They got all upset and Carter had to apologize for his brother.
He used to hold court down there, you know, in that little gas station.
Oh, yeah.
What was the name of that town down in Georgia? I forget the name of the town.
God, what was it?
But anyhow, he went over to Libya and saw our boy over there.
Colonel Gaddafi.
Mm-hmm. He liked Colonel Gaddafi.
Oh, yeah.
Colonel Gaddafi gave him some money, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, they got upset. Boy, the Jews got real upset.
Well, that's when his big line was that, you know, we should back the Arabs instead of the Jews because there's more of them and they're richer.
And they got more money. And they'll give me more money and I can make more Billy Beer.
More Billy Beer.
I used to have some of that up in the attic or down in the basement or something. But
yeah.
I sold it or something.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I would have kept, too. I drank mine. That probably would have been a big collection
item.
Yeah.
No Dennis Prager?
I don't know.
That kike that's on the radio, right-wing conservative. Uh-huh. They'll give you a liberal. They'll give you a conservative. They come any way you want them. They're any way they want to be.
Yeah.
Well, he's beating the drum again for Condoleezza Rice for president. He's been saying that now for weeks. What the hell is his problem? You know, he smokes cigars. Maybe he's smoked too many cigars.
Well, that would actually be pretty funny because she is such a puppet. I mean, she barely has a personality.
She's almost as dumb as Bush.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's smarter than Bush. It's just she has no backbone. It's whatever people tell her. Did you see her when she was before Congress and stuff?
Yeah.
She was just desperately trying to remember what everybody told her to say, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of felt sorry for the lady.
Oh, man, I tell you. But I couldn't believe it that he had a couple of guys come on, guests and so forth. They said, no, we want Congressman this and Senator that, and I don't think his little charade's going to go very far. But maybe that would be good to put her in there as president.
Oh yeah,
you know, because I think that would hurry things up a little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What maybe else is cooking there?
Gary Coleman would be a good vice president.
Yeah,
pushing. I think he'd make a good politician.
Yeah, but we're still till after the convention's over. We're for the Right Reverend.
Al Sharpton. Yeah.
He's our man,
That's true, but...
Those skinheads would have got out there and handed out his literature like I told them to, for Big Al, he'd be someplace.
Yeah. We'd have an Al in the White House.
Big Al. Yeah.
He'd made his face on a $5 bill. Well, actually, $3 bill.
I don't think he could get it on a $3 bill. It's pretty big. Simon Wiesenthal Center. You know what they're doing?
Painting.
They're handing out money.
They are.
Government gives them money, all you know, and the governor of California gives them money.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're going over to Hungary, and they're giving all these people money to find old Nazis. Now, you know, you can imagine how old the Nazis would be in Hungary.
Oh, God, yeah. 80s, 90s.
To grab these guys. But, you know...
So that's our tax dollars?
You know, it may work over there, but I'll tell you one thing. This government sure missed thought of the Arabs, because the Arabs, we've had a $25 million reward mm-hmm. onto bin Laden
mm-hmm.
for how many years?
Oh, yeah.
3, 4, 5 years. Nobody's got it yet. Can you imagine $25 million reward in this country for anybody?
Oh, yeah.
They turn in their own mother.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
They would turn in their whole family. They turn, if they're Catholic, they turn in the Pope. If they're
That's
a Baptist,
true.
They turn in Billy Graham.
That's true.
I mean, this country is so dollar-oriented
that
any kind of a... Well, you know, our boy down there was hiding out in the hills of North Carolina.
Eric Rudolph,
somebody turned him in. It was a woman that turned him in.
Oh, was it?
Somebody he knew. And I didn't... Somebody told me he's part of the information, but I didn't get the whole
thing. Well, the story they're telling is that security guard found him going through the garbage can or something.
No, but that was the place he went there every once in a while. And the gal told him that that's where he's going to be at that time. It wasn't any, security guard figured it out.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else is cooking?
I was reading that there's a study that just came out today that antidepressants cause people to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of bizarre? They're giving these depressed people a drug that makes them more depressed.
Well, yes, I can imagine that. Do you ever get depressed?
No. I am one happy person.
They say us stupid people don't get depressed.
That's probably true.
I don't get depressed.
I've never been... You know, I've never had a nightmare in my life, and I don't think I've really been depressed about anything in my life.
Do you dream?
Yeah, I dream, but I don't dream really in stories as much.
What do you dream about?
Oh, like once I dreamed I was an eagle, and I dreamed about trees. I dreamed about like an eagle, and I was flying over this waterfall. And then I dreamed...
You're a pretty damn big eagle.
Yeah. I dreamed about like a trees and the wind blowing through. I don't dream stories. You know, people tell me they got all these weird stories.
Oh.
I never had a dream like
that. You never dream stories?
No, hardly ever.
That's all I dream.
I hardly ever dream
There's
stories.
There's always a plot or something happening.
No, not in mine. Mine are usually about trees and birds and goats and
horses.
Well,
you must be an oldness then.
Yeah, I dreamed once...
Goats? You dream about goats?
Yeah, just goats eating grass on the hill. You know, once I dreamed I was a horse running through a field. But like, you know, all these weird stories of people, I've never had a dream like that.
Wow. So you don't have to take any antidepressants,
no.
huh?
No.
Well, once in a while I get depressed for a few hours, but I always just, I always get by it. I sing a karaoke song, have a drink, and I'm okay.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, because I get just as much good news coming in as bad news.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so it sort of balances itself out.
Bad news makes me happy.
Well, yes, a lot of bad news makes me happy, too. I laugh like hell.
Yeah, I notice a lot of people are like that. You know, like, there'll be tons of good news, and nobody will just, like, fucking completely dead. And something goes wrong, and you hear about 10 billion people got a comment on it, you know?
Yeah,
the whole fucking culture's kind of like that now.
Yeah, we're sort of weird that way, but in the middle of the night, I hear a lot of bad news.
Yeah.
Bad news for the system.
Yeah.
Good news for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I lay there in bed and chuckle. My lady says... What you chuckling about? I said, "Well, things are getting worse. It's funny." What's the matter with you, boy? You got a problem.
Yeah, the force is bad.
Okay, on to the next issue. Maybe I'll play a little song.
I think it's
time for a little music.
That is true.
Now, this here's a story about the Rock Island Line. Well, the Rock Island Line, she runs down into New Orleans. There's a big toll gate down there, and you know if you got certain things on board when you go through the toll gate, well, you don't have to pay the man no toll. Well, a train driver, he pulled up to the toll gate, and the man hollered and asked him what all he had on board, and he said, "I got livestock, I got livestock, I got cows, I got pigs, I got sheep, I got mules, I got all livestock." Well, they said, "You all right, boy. You don't have to pay no toll. You can just go right on through." So he went on through the toll gate. And as he went through, he started picking up a little bit of speed. Picking up a little bit of steam. He got on through, he turned, looked back to man, he said, well, I fooled you, I fooled you, I got pig iron, I got pig iron, I got all pig iron. Down the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. Rock Island Line, it's a road to ride. Rock Island Line, it's a mighty good road. Well, if you do ride, you got to ride it like you might get your ticket at the station called the Rock Island Line. Oh, it's cloudy in the west and it looks like rain. Round the curve, come a passenger train. Northbound train on the southbound track. He's all right, I'll leave it, but he won't be back. Well, the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. Rock Island Line, it's a road to ride. Rock Island Line, it's a mighty good road. Well, if you do ride, you got to ride it like you might get your ticket at the station called the Rock Island Line. Well, I may be right and I may be wrong, but you're gonna miss me when I'm gone. Well, the engineer said before he died, there were two more drinks that he'd like to try. Conductor said, what could they be? A hot cup of coffee and a cold glass of tea. Well, the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good road. Rock Island Line, it's a road to ride. Rock Island Line, it's a mighty good road. Well, if you ride, you got to ride it like you find it. Get your ticket at the station for the Rock Island Line. Black wheels are humming, people waiting at the station, happy hearts are drumming. Train man, tell me maybe, ain't you got my baby? Ever so often everybody's baby gets the urge to roam, but everybody's baby but mine coming home. Now stop your whistle blowing, cause I've got ways of knowing. You're bringing other people's lovers, but my own keeps going. Love this evening, when she's not gone, she's leaving. Ever so often, everybody's baby gets the urge to roam, but everybody's baby but mine's coming home. When everybody's baby gets the urge to roam, but everybody's baby but mine's coming home. Train of love's leaving, leaving my heart grieving, but early or late I sit and wait because I'm still believing. We'll walk away together, though I may wait forever. Ever so often everybody's baby gets the urge to roam, but everybody's baby but mine's coming home.
Johnny Cash stuff there. Pretty good, huh?
I love Johnny Cash. I love vintage country. Can't stand modern country.
Yeah. You know, we've been getting quite a few people emailing us, say how they like the country show.
Cool.
And don't forget to download those terrible Tommy old-time country and comedy shows.
Yeah.
We got about five or six of them up there, I guess. So I got to get another one up there right away. Look, I want to tell you what happened to me on the way to the great meeting at Aryan Nations.
What happened?
Well, I went from Salt Lake to, Salt Lake. I was going to get this little plane.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any big ones going over there.
I know.
Little fart plane. Anyhow, I show my boarding pass. They said, go on out that door and go in there and get right on that plane. I said, okay. So I went out the door and right up the ramp, the little old nigger boy was there. He looked like a Ubangi or something. He had his hair going out in different ways.
A little Mormon.
I think he was smiling because he was a moron, you know. But anyhow. A
Mormon? Typical Mormon.
Well, we were in Mormon country, that's for sure. And I got a story to tell about that, too. Yeah. So I get in there, and everybody says hi, and I sit down, and I'm in 6A. I'm in 6A.
Mm-hmm.
So
write this down.
So I'm there about 5 minutes, and down the aisle comes a young guy and his gal.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, you're in our seat. And I said, well, what's your number? They said, 6A. And I said, well, I'm 6A, too.
Holy shit. Did so you sit looked, on your lap?
Well, I was going to offer that, you know. And finally, we're looking at each other dumbfounded, and the guy says, where are you going? And I said, well, I'm going to Spokane. He said, well, this plane's going to Vancouver, Canada. If I'd have gotten Vancouver, Canada, they'd have arrested my ass right away. You know, they probably would have really been jerks. And held me. Maybe you put me in prison because I ain't supposed to be in Canada.
Well, tell them, hey, I'm going to the Aryan Nations meeting. You can't keep me.
Oh, yeah, I'll be late. I'll be late.
I'm the key speaker. Let me go.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, I got a feeling I'd have been there at least a week if they'd
Do they still dress up like Doug Lee Do-Right, the Mounties there?
Who?
The Canadian Mounties.
I don't know. Maybe some of them. Well, now they got some of the guys with turbans on, I think, now. The Singies. You know those Singies? Anyhow, on the way back, I get on that little plane again, and there was, you know, there's just two little seats on both sides, and the cushions are terrible.
Yeah, I've been on those planes.
Well, this big guy must have been about 300 pounds plopped down next to me. And he spilled over into my seat and shoved me up against the wall. I was like a pretzel all the way down there, and he was a big guy. I mean, he was tall and
big. You could have sat on your lap.
Well, I said, I almost said, well, get the hell out of here. But he would have beat the crap out of me. He'd have sat on me, you know.
Did they charge him for two seats?
Well, that's what I was going to ask him. I thought they were going to charge these kind of people for two seats.
Yeah.
But obviously they're not doing
it. The American Civil Liberties Union got a lot.
Well, if it's on a big plane, it wouldn't be so bad. But that little plane, it was horrible. Well, it was only an hour and 20 minutes.
That's a long time to have a guy sitting on top of you.
But when I got off, all of a sudden, there was a whole gang of guys with cowboy hats and boots and everything.
Rodeo team.
They're rodeo guys. Yeah. And I'm right in the middle of them walking down the aisle. And here's a little short chit me with this black hat on. Yeah. And tennis shoes and shorts. They're probably wondering, what the hell is he, the clown?
He's the clown.
Hey, they had a nigger cowboy.
Yeah.
One lone nigger cowboy
in
the middle of that thing.
You know, when I went to school in Colorado, and we didn't have a football team. We had a rodeo team.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of funny. You don't think about
a
college with a rodeo team.
You don't think of them having a golf team either, but a lot of schools do. But anyhow, so then I'm getting ready to go on this incidentally, Salt Lake City, the Great Salt Lake, looks like terrible.
Oh, God, it smells
like a mud puddle.
I used to live a couple blocks from Salt Lake City, and it stinks rotten fish.
Well, all this for thousands of acres of lake, it's all purple and funny.
Yeah, it's a nasty lake, and then there's seagulls everywhere, and the crap everywhere, and the lake stinks.
Well, I wouldn't want to live around that stuff. I always thought
I was glad when I got out.
I thought it'd be
a
pretty big lake with people with sailboats and everything.
I
didn't see anybody on it.
No, it's a nasty lake. You go in there, and it's really salty, and it's polluted, and it's a filthy lake.
Where the hell are they getting their water? Out of wells or something?
Oh, the snow. The mountains are right above Salt Lake City?
Yeah.
Oh, mountains there.
Well, so anyhow, then I go to get on the plane.
Side note. You know Gary Gilmore? Remember him?
Yeah.
I was living in Salt Lake City when he was executed. Up on the mountains there's a little shiny thing. Well, that's a prison up there. That's prison. Gary Gilmore got killed. Loved Salt Lake City.
Incidentally, I watched a movie about, who was that other serial killer, that very famous one?
There's a lot of them, Tom.
Well, you know.
What'd he do?
The pretty boy that they iced him a few years ago.
Oh, you mean Jeffrey Dahmer?
No. The other guy, but he was a ladies' man, and he killed 100 of them or something.
Ted Bundy.
Yeah, Ted Bundy, and this was a movie.
Oh yeah,
they made about it, and I've seen a movie about it, which didn't make him look that bad. I mean, he's a killer, but this movie, he was a real freak.
Yeah.
And then they showed at the end every little step of the way when they put him in the chair.
Oh, really?
Oh, it was wild. It was on the television, on the satellite. It was you know, you want to say it's a good movie, but not good in the sense you sort of hated to watch it because he was killing all these beautiful girls. Yeah. You know?
I saw one movie. I just saw a part of it. I didn't see the end of it, but supposedly there was this one girl that was, thought it was real cool. It was a serial killer, and she was going, he met a party. She was going on and on about how neat it was and anything, and Ted Bundy went up to her and started talking to her and took her out and killed her.
That was in the movie.
Oh, okay. I saw part of that movie. I didn't see
it
all.
That was in the movie. Yeah. And, you know, in the first movies I saw of him, I didn't have too much of a thinking about either way. But in this movie, you hate his ass, and you're just tickled to death when they fry him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because his mother was a really controlling Jesus freak, and because she was so anti-sexual, he got really into pornography and just all kinds of bizarre stuff.
Well, he said his mother was his sister or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
some weird deal.
Well, his mother was just some bizarre Christian, and he just went off the date.
Well, I think his father had sex with his daughter, and then she then ended up having him or some crazy.
He was
telling the story.
Yeah, they were just some bizarre Christians.
Wow, man. Yeah. Well, anyhow, I watched it about midnight last night, and boy, I was scared.
I went to
bed and covered up my head.
I only watched a little bit of it because it was kind of creepy and stuff, so I only watched about an hour or so.
Maybe maybe I hadn't watched it, because it's really sick the way he kept killing these beautiful white girls, you know.
And well, supposedly he claimed he killed over 200, but I don't know if that may just be a jailhouse bragging.
Anyhow, I'm up there in Salt Lake City, and I go to get on the plane. I see all these guys in dark suits, young guys, 18, 19, well, they're probably in their 20s, you know how it gets. When you get old like me, everybody looks like...
Were they carrying bicycles on the plane, 10 speeds?
No, but they all had the same dark suit, the same white shirt,
same
the
stupid
same
expression
dark,
on their face.
Same dark tie, the same luggage, every absolutely the same. And there was about 25 of them got on my plane.
Ward teachers!
I thought it was the SS, man.
It was a fucking ward
the
teacher.
The Mormons, yeah. They were, so anyhow, we get down here to San Diego, and we all get off the plane. You know how I was in the middle of the Cowboys? Yeah. Now I'm in the middle of the Mormons. I'm walking through the terminal. I'm surrounded by 25 Mormons, and there's one kid. He didn't seem too bright, but he's a real nice kid, and he was from Texas. And we were talking as we walked along, and he gave me one of these little Mormon deals. And
oh, boy.
I think he thought I was going to be his first convert in San Diego. So I guess they're coming down here, and they're all talking about speaking Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Get those
they're going to recruit all the non-white Mexicans.
Well, you know, in the church that I was, Mormon church I was baptized in, it used to be all, like, Nordic and stuff like that. They've got shifts now where they teach in the Mormon church all Spanish. You go there, and they have Spanish sermons and stuff.
Well, this kid drugged me up to meet the main man that was meeting him there, see? And I want you to meet Brother whatever, what, and maybe not Brother.
Was he a bishop or an elder?
I guess he was an elder. Hell, what do I know? But anyhow, he introduced me, and the guy shook my hand, and he said, gave his name. I said, hi, I'm Tom Metzger, you know. I shook his hand good, and he said, do you know anything about our religion? I said, well, yeah, I know about your religion.
You told him about me.
I got your Bible on my bookshelf.
Got your Bible hanging here.
I said, you ever read it? I said, well, I think I read it one time, yeah. And so he'll go home and he'll say, Tom Metzger, Fallbrook, doesn't that ring a bell? Oh, my God, I shook hands with the devil.
He read the Book of Mormon. Good God.
So here they're turning all these, all Aryan guys.
Yeah.
They were, I asked him on the way down when I was in that bunch, I said, whatever happened to the women? Here a few years ago, 10, 15 years ago, they were sending women out, girls. And I said, that's terrible because sending them around, beautiful white girls send them around door to door in Southern California.
Little farm girls from Utah.
You know, the damn Mexicans and these niggers and even weird white guys that grab them and bring them in and rape them. I mean, they probably had several of them raped and they quit that. They're back to the guys again. Yeah. Of course, these guys...
I have several of them right, too.
Well, these guys, a lot of them were pretty... they weren't buffed out, you know. They get their ass raped, too. So, anyhow, that was my experience traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was interesting. I got to walk with the cowboys and the nigger cowboy, and I got to walk with the Mormons.
And you got to fly with the whale. How many people can say that?
And I got to fly with the whale. God almighty.
You almost ended up in Canada in prison.
Well, I told the stewardess that was walking down the aisle, I said, now look, you check up there and make sure nobody put their suitcase on my cowboy hat. That happened to me once, man. I was flying back east, and I put my cowboy hat up above in the luggage.
Oh, yeah.
And some asshole took his, you know how they carry those things. Boom! When I got my hat back, it looked like, it was flatter than a pancake.
Was that me? That sounds like something I'd do.
Well, it wasn't you that time, but the gal said, no, it's perfectly okay. And even the fat guy says to me, he got my hat for me and handed it to me.
Yeah.
I think he felt a little sorry for me.
Since his side of you was covered with sweat. He's heavy now.
Yeah, man. I tell you. it was terrible. Oh, man. Well, with that fat guy on that plane, I either had to look at him or look out the window at that pukey Salt Lake. And I don't look straight ahead at the seat because I don't know which was uglier, that guy or the lake. I always thought that lake was a nice lake that you could rowboat around and fish.
Fish?
Huh?
Fish with not.
There's no fish in there?
God, I think there's like some bony, fucked up fish lives in there. It's a nasty lake. Like I said, I used to live a couple blocks from it, and you wouldn't believe the stink, especially in the summer, how stinky and off. It's hot and it smells just like rotted fish, and it's a terrible, terrible place.
Why would those Mormon elders stop there then? What the hell did they choose that place for? Why didn't they go a little farther west?
Because it was, what was the miracle of the locust? Is that the reason?
Oh, the miracle of the locust.
Yes, because supposedly they stopped, for one season, they planted some grain, and the locust came, and God sent the seagulls, and the seagulls ate the locust.
Oh, boy. So is that when they decided the Indians would be okay, and they'd turn white if they...
Oh, that used to be in the Book of the Mormon. Oh. If they convert to their religion, they'd turn white.
Oh.
They used to say all kinds of... Actually, something kind of neat, that a Mormon, like every planet, when you die, a Mormon guy would have 9 wives, and he'd be a god on his own planet.
Well, hell, that sounds like the Muslims.
Yeah.
In fact, even Christians say you got to go to heaven, streets of gold.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't talk about sex like the Muslims and the Vikings do.
Yeah.
Vikings had Valhalla, party.
Well, the Mormons are different. The Mormons are different than the Christians, is because you actually got to have sex in heaven. The average Christian, you don't. You just kind of float around asexual in a cloud.
No wonder so many people becoming Mormons. Yeah. They're guaranteed to have some sex.
Yeah, 9 women.
Wow, 9 women? I don't know where I could handle 9 women.
Well, if you're in heaven and stuff, you can do anything you want.
Oh,
have
I guess
total erection.
Well, I think they got Viagra. They got machines.
Yeah.
You can get it up there right on the street.
Yeah, they have Viagra machines in heaven.
Wow, that sounds great.
This is my heaven.
Maybe I'll have to re-Christianize.
Oh, baby. I got a weird email I sent to my mailing list, supposedly from this Muslim guy, if it's not from a cop, and he thought my site was a German site, and he was chastising me for being a German nationalist and not attacking the United States, and said how we should declare war on America for Dresden, and how America is destroying Germany, and we should get in the space shovel and ram it into the White House and all this weird stuff. It's pretty bizarre.
Sounds like he's having a bad day.
Oh, yeah. So I just kind of wonder if anybody else was getting some kooky stuff like that.
Well, I put it on my update that there's some information now that they're saying that the Al-Qaeda is teaming up with the white supremacists.
Which white supremacist is that?
I didn't see a who, man. Nobody come around
and
asked me.
Probably that email was from the FBI, and they sent it to my email list, and they go, aha, see, there's proof that the white supremacists...
They're probably trying about everything.
Oh, yes. We got it right there.
Well, I haven't had any Muslims come around, but there's a Mexican likes to sell me cars once
in
a while. He looks like a damn Muslim.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the same race.
Maybe he's an undercover Muslim and hasn't revealed himself.
I think that's what the Mexicans... I think the Mexicans are undercover Arabs. They're coming up here as a Catholic from South America, but they're actually Arabs.
Well, hell, look at them. They all look like you put most Iraqis up beside a Mexican. You can't tell the difference.
Oh, they're all racially mixed species.
And you take a lot of these Mexican and non-whites and put them upside the Mongolian Chinese. They look the same.
Oh yeah.
So what do we have? We don't have even a black problem.
We've
got a brown problem.
Yeah. Yeah,
worldwide.
A piece of shit problem. But that's basically what it is, because the Arabs and the Mexicans and the Mongolians are all just racially mixed pieces of shit, and the racially mixed piece of shit looks like a brown turd.
If it's brown, flush it.
That's true.
We used to say that when Brown was running for governor.
Oh, really?
Jerry Moonbeam Brown.
Now it has more meaning.
It has big meaning now.
Big meaning.
Yeah, so anyhow...
Flesh the border.
Wait a minute. I'm running out of stuff to talk about.
You're running out of stuff to talk about. We're doing the paper.
I should have made... Oh, yeah. We're getting ready to...
Do that paper.
That's right. That August paper will be out real soon, just so you get your subscriptions and your renewals in, or you're not going to know how mean and rotten we are.
That's true.
And all the wild things that we advocate.
That's true, and how pretty I make the paper.
It's $30.
You don't miss out on the prettiness.
Purdy?
Yeah, damn pretty.
Oh, okay. I guess so. Oh, it's beautiful.
It is goddamn pretty.
It's
purdy.
Beautiful. I got to say that or you'll quit.
Yeah,
okay.
Purdy, goddamn right.
So, anyhow, $30 for 12 issues. That's in the U.S. of A., USA. And it's $40 up there in that damn Kanukistan where I almost went to jail again. And it's $50 everywhere else. Now, we got a shopping cart up there now on our site. But I'm not sure how it works.
Any homeless people stealing your shopping carts?
And we got some credit card company working there, and I haven't even figured that out yet. So how the hell am I going to send in your donations, boys, because I can't figure out the shopping cart.
You go up there and all the homeless people.
I can get the shopping cart full, but then what do I pay for? How do I pay? You know, okay, well, we'll figure that out.
Okay.
We'll get some experts in here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll get some Jew to show us how to work
That's true. You know?
Isn't that terrible? That's terrible.
No, they're good at business.
Well, I think we've about come to the end. Maybe I'll close out with one more Johnny Cash song.
Okay, good one.
Well,
what do you got coming up, you think?
What have I got coming up?
Johnny Cash-wise.
Well, I don't know what's coming up next. I just pushed the damn button.
Surprise you.
And go like that.
As long as it's not Cherokee Nation.
Could you sing one verse of Happy Trails?
Happy trails to you until
Oh, God. Oh,
one of the greatest cowboy singers, Roy Rogers.
Well, it's to get the hell out of here because this guy drives me crazy. I don't know why I always ask him to sing that. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There's a boy across the street. Lately he looks very neat. Seems he's always on the run down the street to 301.
Seems he's always on the run.
Saturday he mows the lawn, gets up at the crack of dawn. 9 o'clock the work's all done, down the street to 301.
9 o'clock the work's all done, down the street to 301.
When it's back to school this fall, winter chill may end it all. But for now there's lots of fun with the girl at 301.